Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. I'm here in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and the Hilscher's General Store hotline open at 1-800-795-9565, powered by Hilscher's General Store. You can go to www.hilscherstore.com, Hilscher's General Store, located 7 miles south of Sealands Grove, on Routes 11 and 15. Of course, this is the day after the horrific events in Boston that happened yesterday with the double blast at the Boston Marathon, other devices being found in the city. We will get everybody up to date on everything we know at this time. We'll also have updates from CBS News during the course of our broadcast today. And if we get some time today, we will talk a little bit of sports. But again, breaking news obviously will warrant which way we go with the show today. Between now and then, time for Above the Noise. Here's Dan Patrick. Welcome back. Great to have you with us on this Tuesday, the day after the terrorist attack in Boston, and Kevin, welcome. Great to have you on board.
It's one of those days, Steve, where you just kind of are still in shock yet, though, just over everything that's happening, and then you start talking to people that were actually there, and boy, the shock doesn't go away.
Oh, I don't know. Shock. No, anger, yeah.
Well, that's coming. That's coming
soon. I'm sick of it. There are too many reminders around me all the time. I mean, face-to-face. Part of it is just the nature of my job. In Tucson, we went up to the Ventana Canyon Hills for practice. What do we drive by? Gabrielle Gifford's office. Dark, flowers in front. I go to Virginia Tech to do a basketball game. What's across from Castle Coliseum? Right there in front of me, Johnson Hall. That's where the first two killings took place on that day. Jeremy Herbstra of Bellefonte, whose parents work at Penn State. Mike and Peg Herbstra.
Right.
One of those killed in the classroom building. I remember Tyler Waldron, for example, who'd been a place kicker here at Transford. He was the guy on CNN that morning talking about it. I go to the NIT Final Four. All of us went down to the World Trade Center. I was on Boylston Street in that spot speaking at McGreevy's to the Penn State Club of Greater Boston 11 months ago, and I was on that street 2 months ago because I had to take my son into Boston for a very important series of tests and a medical checkup at Longwood, at Children's. So for me, I see all these places, Kevin.
Well, yeah, but I mean...
Right there in your face.
Right, and I understand. I mean, from my point of view, you know, I don't see those places. It seems like a big city thing, but then you talk to the folks that were actually there, people that you know or... people that you know through someone else that actually experienced it. And it really, something like that really comes to home. I mean, we all kind of see these things differently in this area for those of us that live and don't get out of this area a whole lot. Mm. as being a big city thing, but now it's not.
I drove through Newtown the day after it happened because I was going back for my mother's funeral. I have to go through Newtown to get there. I had to go through the day after all those kids were killed. And I don't want some egghead intellectual try to psychoanalyze why it's our fault.
I haven't heard that yet, but I know it's coming.
Oh, it's not our fault, okay? It's not our fault. It's their fault. They're the ones that committed the act, okay? See all those people who went down, all those first responders that were there, all those people who stopped what they were doing and ran to help out, all the goodness in people came out. That's who we are.
I sit back and wonder,
That's who we are, okay? We're the ones that go help. We're the ones who first respond. We're the ones, okay? That's who we are.
I sit back and wonder how many people, though, are going to think twice about going to something now or going to an event and not being, quote-unquote, normal. And we actually talked about that last night at home.
Kevin.
We really did.
Kevin, the nature of my job is being around these events.
Sure.
Okay? That's my job. I'm going to be at Beaver Stadium on Saturday. Okay? I'll be going to a series of minor league baseball games coming up this summer. I'm going to be at the U.S. Open Golf Championship. You and I are going to Pocono. I'm going to be at MetLife Stadium in August. I'm going to be at Beaver Stadium 7 times next fall. I'm going to be at Ohio State. I'm going to be at Indiana. I'm going to be at Wisconsin. I'm going to be at Minnesota. Okay, all of them, 50,000-plus seat stadiums. 8 times I'm going to be in stadiums that seat over 100,000. And then I'm going to go to a series of basketball arenas from the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, all the way through to Assembly Hall in Bloomington, to Ohio, to the Breslin Center, to the Shot at Ohio State, whatever. Okay. In between, all of those places I'm going to are all going to be 15,000 seats plus. Right, every one of them.
Yeah,
I'm going to be at a charity event on Sunday. It's a run.
Yeah, we just happened to talk about it last night at home, and one of the things you said is, does this make you not want to go to big events anymore? And it was funny because it was my the 14-year-old that said, no, why would that make me want to think twice about it?
Well, it doesn't make me think twice about it.
No, but I can understand people that do, though. I really do. But then, you know, there's a saying you're going to hear an awful lot over the next couple of days. If you decide not to go to these events because of fear, then the people who were cowardice enough to do this win.
Everybody has to make up their own mind about everything they do in life. Right? Everything. You make the decision as to whether or not you get on that airplane. You make a decision as to whether or not you want to get on the Schuylkill Expressway or take the back road. You make the decision as to whether you want to go to the sporting event or not. Everybody is entitled to make their own decision. I've already made up my mind as to what I'm doing. I'm not changing anything. Okay? But that's my way of doing things. But everybody makes those decisions every day. You know what? I don't want to take Interstate 80 today. I'm going to go 45 instead. Okay, you have your reasons. You feel more comfortable doing that. That's fine. Comfort's important. That's what makes what we do so great. We can be independent thinkers, and we can make our own decisions that fit our lives and our comfort. If you're not comfortable, I completely respect your decision not to go. On the other hand, I'm completely comfortable. I'm going. I mean, I'm completely comfortable. I'm going. And look, I go through security all the time. It's not like no special privileges here. It's almost like people laugh about it. But when I go to Beaver Stadium, I'm checked.
I've seen it.
I mean, but I'm saying though, but I go in there.
Yeah.
And the running is, hey Steve, how you doing? Hey, great. Hey, 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 we need to see your bag. Gotta be, you know. And of course, absolutely. And when we're done, I say, hey, thanks. I'm glad you guys are here doing that. When I go to the airport here, now this doesn't happen, obviously, other places, you know. But when I go to the airport here, what? You don't think every TSA doesn't know me? Of course they do. But it's their job, and it's also my responsibility to completely cooperate with their job. It's like, hey, Steve, how you doing? Now, you know, I need your bag. I do, you know, sometimes it's a metal detector, sometimes a pat down, whatever it happens to be. But you do it. It's part of our life now. But I'm not going to let what anybody else does around me change what I do. But I'm also not going to look at somebody else and say, you know, you ought to be going, well, I'm not that comfortable going. Well, you're not that comfortable going, then don't. Because guess what? Your comfort means something to me. Okay?
Well, and that's the point that I was making, too. I mean, my view is I don't want to let someone like that win. That may be my reasoning for going.
Right. But I'm comfortable going.
Sure. I understand that.
I mean, yeah. I have no issues about none. But, no issues.
But I do understand people that are a little uncomfortable or
absolutely
nervous about it. I get that.
Absolutely.
Which would be a very good question today if you want to help us out here on the toll-free line is, do you feel any hesitation going to an event?
It's 1-800-795-9565. Hillshire Store Hotline. And if you are, that's fine.
Yeah.
Believe me. It's up to you. Now, admittedly, most of the things I do are in more confined, contained areas. You go into Beaver Stadium, your bag's going to be checked, things like that. You go into the Barclays Center, your bag's going to be checked.
I have to go through a metal detector at the Little League World Series.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So, now this is different. This is a 26-mile course, 26.2 miles from Hopkinton to Wells, Boston. This is 26 open-air miles. Different. That little 8-year-old kid woke up yesterday. He was excited because guess what? Daddy was running in the Boston Marathon. You tell me, what did he do to lose his life? A 29-year-old girl was there to photograph her friend's boyfriend crossing, lost her life. She woke up yesterday excited about going, I'm sure. Okay? My son has gone to this the last 2 years. He was supposed to come here over the weekend. We had illness in the family. So we told him not to come. He didn't. So yesterday, right after the show started, I got a hold of him to find out, because he goes to the marathon every year. He goes every year because he works up there. They have day off. He goes down to Boylston Street every year. Yesterday, he went to Philadelphia instead. You're listening to One Very Relieved Father today.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us.
Are you hesitant to go to a sporting event now? Or an event period? I don't care. It could be a Dave Matthews concert, for good sakes.
That's one thing that Sarah Bartlett would not be would not hesitate to go to. I think she's been to about 80 of them.
What, Dave Matthews?
Yeah. Yeah, she's been to about 80 Dave Matthews bands.
So. Does he know about the stalking thing or what?
I don't know. That's a good question. I'm going to ask her about that tomorrow.
I think I'd rather ask Dave Matthews. Find out what he thinks. What do you think about this? Well, uneasy. Our number 1-800-795-9565. Would you be hesitant now? Look, the Boston Marathon started in 1897. Know it, been to it. As I said yesterday, growing up, I grew up right in the Massachusetts-Connecticut line. My mother is a graduate of Lexington High School. Yesterday, Lexington, by the way, celebrated its 300th birthday as a town. Lexington is where the first battle of the Revolutionary War took place on April 19, 1775. I know this like the back of my hand only because growing up, this was a part of my life, my culture.
I knew it thanks to Schoolhouse Rock.
Well, I knew it because, look, my godmother lives literally, my godmother literally lives four houses off the green.
Oh, okay. Wow.
All right. So that's where my godmother lives. All right. My grandparents their house was, I don't know, 2 miles from the green. So it was the one day that my parents told me to skip school because they were going up for the party. So I had to go. So I was allowed to skip school on Patriots Day. See, in Massachusetts and in Maine, and you're saying, why Maine? If you know your history, in 1775, Maine was actually, it was actually the Massachusetts Bay Colony, and Maine was part of the Massachusetts Bay Colony. It was not a separate state or colony at the time. And so Massachusetts and Maine are the only two states that celebrate Patriots Day. So it used to be it's every April 19th. So when I was a kid, it was always April 19th. It was not the third Monday of the month, you know, because they wanted to make it a three-day weekend. And I was there for the 200th anniversary of it, and President Ford was there, and Senator Kennedy was there, and Caroline Kennedy was there. And so this was a part of me when I was growing up. I always went up there on Patriots Day. Red Sox game 11 in the morning? You betcha. Okay? Well, the marathon. Well, you know, it was easy. I didn't go down. I didn't go down to the square. No, you walk out to Commonwealth Avenue, which is in the back of the way it is at Fenway, left field wall, Lansdowne Street, Caskin Flagon, Newbury Street, Mass Pike, Newbury Street, Commonwealth Avenue. It's all, you do that within about 60 seconds, okay? And Commonwealth Avenue is where they're running. They don't cut over to Boylston until they go to, I think, Herbert Street, something like that, which is just a little kitty corner. You know, bang, bang, and you're on Boylston. Right, so this was part of a fun day that was uniquely New England, but actually Massachusetts. You know, you'd watch the reenactment on the Lexington Green. They would do that. That was kind of cool. So this was all part of growing up. It was a fun day. Now, they'll run the marathon next year, and then the marathon was the legendary Johnny Kelly. I mean, 1897 is when this thing started. He ran in 60 of them, Johnny Kelly did. Bill Rogers won every year. Alberto Salazar, Amby Burfoot, Joan Benoit Samuelson. And you always get great times in Boston, 208, 207, 206. Why? Because you have Heartbreak Hill, which is not a big hill. It's like at the 21-mile mark. But for the most part, it's downhill. It's all right. For the most part, it's downhill. From Hopkinton Inn. The co-eds at Wellesley. You'd like that part. But that's what the day was about. Next year, they'll probably have the second largest contingent of runners they've ever had, except for the 100th year in 1997.
or I think they had 46,000, 48,000 runners. I think this year they had 26,000. I wouldn't doubt they have over 40,000 next year in a show of support and solidarity.
Okay.
But it's changed forever. It's changed forever.
The Boston Marathon, that's not an open. You have to qualify for that?
You have to qualify to run.
Yeah, that's what I thought. It wasn't an open marathon.
No, I remember Fran Gander's son John ran in it a couple of years ago. Man, it was a deal of, I think it was 2004 he ran in it. It's like the deal of a life. He loved it. It was great. Dr. Doug Aukerman, who's now at Oregon State, he worked here with football and basketball for a few years before he took the Oregon State job, ran in it twice. One, he says he thought it was great that I'd been to it before, wanted support for me, to be at the finish line for him.
Okay.
And that's the way it is. Do you realize all the charitable money that was raised yesterday by running in it? That's what that four-hour mark, Kevin, is about in Boston. Those are the charities.
Yeah, those are the people that I've heard this from a couple of people. Those are not the people that are racing. Those are people that are running.
Those are the people who are doing it for a reason, for a cause. Center volunteers in medicine. Okay, running. They were in it. Everybody's safe here from Center County, from CVIM. Okay, we're running for the Dana-Farber Institute, pediatric cancer. These awful, awful people that had to be, must have done something wrong. That's what these people are doing. That's the group that's coming in the four-hour mark from 3.5 to 4.5, 5 hours in. They're all the charitable people running for a cause to help somebody else out. And the heroic first responders on hand, unbelievable. The fact that it was the Boston Marathon, the fact that EMTs automatically were in place in that spot, along with police and firefighters. Who knows how many lives it saved because they were right there. Many cities have great, great hospitals. Boston has among the finest in the world. Beth Israel Deaconess, Brigham and Women's, Children's, which obviously I know as well as anybody on the planet, how great they are, because I've had two children taken care of there, including one extensively. Oh, both extensively, as a matter of fact. Which, by the way, is the Harvard Medical School. I think that says it all right there. They're all 2.5 miles from the spot, proximity. Huge difference. Quality of care, huge difference. Mass General, meanwhile, is up by the Boston Garden. Now, the other direction. That's right across from Teddy Ebersol's ball field. Teddy Ebersol was Dick Ebersol's son who was killed in that plane crash. They named the ball field after him on the other side of Sturrow Drive. Boom, is where Mass General is. So, heroic first responders off the charts. EMTs already there. They could at least provide the basics right away, already there, and world-class hospitals within minutes, saving lives. So do you have any hesitancy to go to a sporting event or an open air of any event? I don't know, it's a concert, whatever it may be. 4th of July fireworks display, whatever. Give us a call, 1-800-795-9565. I'd like to hear from you. Get your thoughts, comments. 1-800-795-9565.
Mark Wogenrich tomorrow, Allentown Morning Call. He'll be joining us. Adam Rittenberg, ESPN, will join us on Thursday. Patrick Chambers, Penn State head basketball coach, on Thursday. Friday, Mark Brennan, Fight on State. And Bill O'Brien.
What's he got Kevin's going on busy. This week?
Well, he's carved out some time for us. How about that?
In a busy week, I'm sure.
He's carved out time for us. So I think we'll take that time. Also trying to work on getting Randy Jepson on. We're working because the NCAA Men's Gymnastics Championships are here this weekend in Rec Hall. So the NCAA Men's Gymnastics Championships will be here. So we're trying to get Randy Jepson on to talk about that as Penn State goes for a title on their home floor. But that's what we have coming up this week. Mark Wogenrich, Allentown Morning Call tomorrow. Adam Rittenberg, ESPN, on Thursday. Basketball coach Patrick Chambers on Thursday. Friday, Mark Brennan, Fight on State. Neil Riddell, Altoona Mirror. Bill O'Brien, head football coach. And, of course, if you miss any of these, you can go on our podcast at stevejonesshow.com. It just shows the versatility. We can go from anchoring yesterday to knocking around the block with Neil Riddell. So your comments appreciated. 1-800-795-9565. And if you want to go off topic, you can go off topic. That's fine. Doesn't bother me at all. And if you want to lighten it up and talk about something else, that's great. It's your show. It's always a pleasure to talk with each and every one of you. You want to talk about how things are going for spring practice? They have one more practice tomorrow, and that's the one without the pads. Randy is on the road. Hi, Randy. How are you?
Well, hello, Steve. Big fan of your show, and what are they paying you to be on with Kevin every day?
It's a gift. It's my gift to Steve.
Well, there's no figure that would be high enough to be in there with Kevin, but that's, you make me laugh, and I thank you for forming this show last year. I was in the Boston Marathon in the regular Army in 73. I qualified in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and the Army took a colonel and two of us enlisted up to Boston by commercial airliner, and we ran in the marathon. I'm telling you, that was an experience I'll never forget. I would run in the marathon if I was in that kind of shape next year without any hesitation.
Yeah, and I understand that, too. I mean, let's face it. I think the feeling has to be like, well, somebody did this, and the security is going to be tight, and nobody's going to try it again.
Yeah.
And if it's 73, I probably saw you run by at some point because I know I was up there in 73.
Well, we three from Fort Hood, Texas, we were wearing 1st Cav Division
how about that?
Tank tops, yellow with black, patches. I just wanted to call in and, I too am very sorry. Whoever did this, I hope they catch them all and figure it out. And I'm sure they will. I love those people up there. We ate in a restaurant. I got to talk to some Bostonian natives, and the whole experience was really nice for me, and I'll never forget it. So
it's incredible. I tell you, I'm proud to say I'm from near that area. I've always been proud of it, even when the Red Sox lost.
Okay, Steve and Kevin, thanks for taking my call.
Randy, thank you for adding to the show.
Thanks,
appreciate
Randy.
It so much.
Our number 1-800-795-9565 here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout. With so many great deals in bloom, you'll be thinking spring. Like a 2004 Volvo XC90 2.9-liter twin turbo, $7,997. 2010 Chevy Impala four-door sedan, $13,284. 2012 Ford Fiesta five-door hatchback SE. Call for our lowest price promise, 888-536-8017. 2010 Ford Mustang Black, just $14,998. 2012 Hyundai Elantra, four-door GLS, $15,943. And a 2008 Ford F-150 Super Crew Lariat, $23,999. All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout. 24/7 at sunburymotors.com, at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
It's a cheap Jackie Robinson, hit that ball. It went zooming across the left field wall. Yeah, boy.
Yes, yes, Jackie.
Never forget Larry Doby, who, of course, with the Cleveland Indians, broke the line in the American League. But it was Jackie Robinson first, and the movie 42 came out over the weekend, picked up better than $27 million at the box office. And what Jackie Robinson did and then what Larry Doby did is something that changed the country forever. It was a not just a landmark sports moment, it was a landmark national moment 66 years ago yesterday. The guts it must have taken for Jackie Robinson, because, look, the pressure on him was greater than any of us can possibly imagine, because not only did he have to be tolerant, but he also had to play at an extremely high level. He had to be tolerant. He had to be patient. But he also had to be an intense competitor. And he also had to perform at a very high level. He could not fail. Because if he failed or showed any weakness, well, doesn't that go to, quote, prove our point? And he didn't let it get to him. He endured. He was a Hall of Famer. And baseball may not even been his best sport. Playing football, basketball, and track, he was incredible at UCLA. Now, everybody has a support system around him. His wife, Rachel, who's still alive. Branch Rickey, incredible. Leo DeRocher, but also, and you know, Don Newcomb will tell you how important Duke Snyder was, Pee Wee Reese, obvious, Gil Hodges, Ralph Branca, all incredible. Newcomb then opened the door in 1949. Then Newcomb came in 49, along, I think about that time, Roy Campanella did too. And there was a hotel in St. Louis called the Chase Hotel. Don Newcomb had gone to Korea. So he missed the 51 and 52 seasons. So he comes back in 53. Right around there. And they go to St. Louis. And now this is 1953. This is 6 years after Jackie Robinson crosses. This breaks the barrier, okay? 6 years later. And the white players for the Brooklyn Dodgers are in the Chase Hotel. The African-American players are still in a separate hotel. Newcomb comes back from the war. He just fought for his country. Laid his life on the line for this country. And he gets back and he looks at Jackie. I think at the time there was Roy Campanella. Jim Gilliam was with the Dodgers at that time as well. And the four of them are staying at this
other hotel. So they can't get Campanella and Gilliam to go with him, but Newcomb says to Jackie Robinson, he said, let's go to the Chase Hotel. Let's talk to the manager. So they go, and the manager, they said, look, the manager was terrific. He looked at him, he said, yeah, I'll sit down. I'll talk with you. Yeah, sure. And he said, look, why can't we stay here? I just fought in the war, the whole thing. You know, and the manager was, looks at me, he says, of the hotel, the Chase Hotel, he says, you know what? You're right. You're absolutely right. He says, but look, do me a favor. He says, don't swim in the pool. Now, instead of taking that as an insult, Don Newcomb and Jackie Robinson said, look, we get to stay with our teammates at the Chase Hotel. We'll stay away from the pool. As insulting as that is, we've at least achieved a victory. We have now moved forward. So they moved over to the Chase Hotel. They got Gilliam and Campanella to come with them. Their rooms were on the other side from the pool. And one of the things that Newcomb did right away was he called Willie Mays, who was playing with the New York Giants. And, you know, there was Don Thompson, Monty Irvin, and Willie Mays were playing for the Giants. He said, look, when you come to St. Louis, go to the Chase Hotel. You can stay with your teammates here. I mean, that's 6 years after. Now, remember, 1947, I believe Brown versus Board of Education was 1954. Dr. King in Mobile was 1954. Rosa Parks was 1955. So it, you know, all these incremental steps, civil rights legislation is 64. Are we all there yet? All the way? Of course not. But the steps that have been made that are right, the better country for it.